When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Cheese and Pickle.
No, we've done the music. The music's just happened. We're going to have to think of a really good way to open this podcast. Maybe by week 12 or 14.
Yeah. Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8. Start talking.
Yeah, okay, I like that. That's good. Welcome to the second week of Come Strictly Dancing. Still sticking with that title, yeah?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, fantastic.
Really easy for search engines, really good hits. We're doing really well. Sometimes you get us up there before you actually get the official one. I don't know how that happens. It's coincidence.
We're in the Apple charts. It's amazing. Thanks, everyone, for listening. So, yes, it is week 2, Strictly Come Dancing 2022. We have to hit the ground running again because another 15 dances to get through. It's actually the London Marathon this weekend. It rather feels like we are running it too, watching this programme.
They're the same number of people in the London Marathon as there are currently on the dance floor.
Literally,
in Strictly.
Yes, and they're dropping like flies. Do the training and I know all the analogies do actually fit, don't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we just crack on with the first dance without any further ado?
Yeah.
Okay, so after Shirley's initial confusion where I didn't know where to sit and then she missed her cue and then they asked her a question, she was like,
amazing.
What?
It was a huge Liz Truss pause. It was brilliant. It was
pork markets.
It was amazing. It was like, yeah, because obviously Liz Truss had done that thing where she kept pausing when people asked her questions when she was going around the regions. And I thought, it's brilliant, Shirley's broken. It was like a glitch in the Shirley box.
Yes, she did glitch.
And sparks come out of her neck.
And actually she did refer later on to it as a glitch and I loved her even more for that.
Yes, she really won it back.
But we're talking about Will and Nancy. So obviously his utter triumph of last week, there was a certain amount of tension because, you know, if you start out that well,
as he said,
you only have one place to go. And he did sort of come out and was slightly less impressive this week. And he also had a sort of a glitch, a little block. He said where he forgot where he was and what he was doing and sort of struggled to get it back after that. But he was doing a salsa to Never Too Much rehearsal. Although it was a fun routine and it was quite rugged and his face was kind of going, the rest of his body was a bit more, shrug, not sure.
He was kind
really?
Of annoyed with himself.
Yeah,
in a way that
you could tell.
It was such a sensational debut last week and so unexpected. And you thought, oh, you appear to be brilliant at this. I wonder what your attitude to being brilliant at this is. And the answer is, I think he's put himself under a lot of pressure. And the way he was talking, especially when Claudia queued up afterwards, little thing saying, oh, your kids are watching. And he went, I'll have really let them down. And your heart broke.
God.
And you went, oh, you don't realise actually this is fun. And actually, you're just meant to be their amazing dad.
Yeah.
And I thought he'd put himself under a lot of pressure. And you could see when he made a single mistake, it was a disaster for
completely.
Him.
Completely. And you know how much work they're doing with their professional partner. It's a real hothouse, isn't it? Week in, week out. They're usually doing their other jobs as well. And they must feel a huge sense of letting everyone down because the whole machine that's cranked up to allow them to do this, it must feel like a huge amount of pressure.
There's something essentially, it's revealed something about how this show works, which is meant to be fun.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be an escapist thing and it's meant to be frothy and silly.
Yeah.
But then behind it all, like there is with any Gunsea West End show, there is this rigorous athletic training going on.
It's terrifying.
And as soon as the camera comes on, you must look like it was as much fun as it looked.
Yeah.
And when they fail or they get a bad result, you can see in their eyes.
Totally.
This was serious.
I think it really is more than serious. Having spoken, there was a family member of someone on Strictly a few series ago. I remember talking to her about it and I said, what's it really like watching them go through that? And she just looked at me with kind of like a thousand yard stare and said, it's mad what they get them to do.
Yeah.
It's just, it's mad.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of can see that in just the sheer stakes. I think maybe that's why it's so entertaining, because the stakes, I've talked about this before, about something with seemingly no stakes at all, but being treated like the high stakes thing that they know it really is. And I think just some dancing is somehow like life or death come Saturday evening.
It makes you appreciate one of the talents that they've got, the twirlies, the professionals, the pros, is the ability, and a few of them used to crack occasionally, Brendan used to crack occasionally, the ability to make it look like it's all fun and fantastic and do the Jeanette Mamarara face.
Yeah.
And you go, no, this is their job. It's really serious. This
while
is
their
athletic.
Feet are bleeding and their limbs are
it's that.
Howling and, in agony.
Yeah, I think that they're dancing for our fun.
They are. Anyway, we have to get back to Will and Nancy. We'll never start. Oh my God, this is going to be such a long episode. So Will and Nancy Salsa, it was kind of rugged looking, but really a lot less lyrical and fluid than
chunky
Will
salsa.
Was last week. It was very chunky with large chunks. Shirley kept on going on about how Will was adjudicator friendly, which is now what I'm going to say to you when I think you look nice. Well, you're very adjudicator friendly. She's treading a line between just all out perving over. It's, you can always, there's always one or two men that Shirley's like into. This year it's Will. And the guy from Kiss FM, whose name has escaped
Tyler.
Because there's 15 people for Ty. Thank you. Obviously, Tyler, who kind of ingratiated himself early
on.
He's
very adjudicator friendly, isn't he, Tyler?
Very adjudicator friendly. They were told they made mistakes. I think they were aware of that. Craig said it was jagged, but he does have rhythm. And Motsy said, you know, good hips. But I thought everything about it, he just looked sort of cross. It was one of those things where you could just see he piled the pressure on himself. And it could have gone one of two ways, and it went the way you didn't want it to go, basically.
It was salsa hips, tango face.
Thank you. So the judges gave them a 6 from Craig, a 7 from Motsy, a 6 from Shirley, and a 7 from Anton. Very respectable scores, but obviously, if you start at top of Mount Olympus, then it's not ideal in the Strictly journey. If we're likening this to a marathon on Mount Olympus, a marathon up Mount Olympus, for example, then Icarus has flown too. No, okay, Julia, stop it. It hard won points this week,
I think.
This
is what happens because we watch that Boris Johnson drama and
everything's
a classical illusion. Up at Mount Olympus, I'm running on a marathon of running and of dancing and of a Peppa Pig. Marvellous. Now you've made me be sick in my mouth.
I'm never sleeping with you again. After an extremely underwhelming terms and conditions with Rob Beckett, which I don't think is even worth a discussion.
He came through a curtain.
He came through the curtain, but the curtain did all the heavy lifting. And then he plugged his show goodbye.
Yeah.
Not very impressed with that. So moving on to Amy and James's tango to something to do with Bad Habits. There's a Bad Habits song that I'd not heard of before. All I wrote down was it did not kick ass. That's not to say it wasn't nice. Anton said he'd improved. He needed to get his posture better, use his height more.
It's very tall.
Craig said, as with tango, early tangos, they do lack intent because you're too busy counting and going, oh my God, am I doing it right? Is my frame in the right place and all that stuff? And Shirley said she was pleasantly surprised. I can't even remember it, and I watched it again just before this recording. So it was one of those. It was nice.
I made two notes.
Yeah.
Promising.
Yep.
Tall.
Promising tall.
Promising and tall. And I thought, actually, the thing I thought was interesting was the contrast with Will, who I would have put the two of them together as sort of blokey blokes who I sort of don't know, wonder what they're going to be like.
Yeah.
And I thought they were both very similar in episode one. And this one was one where his likability, I think, cut.
Yeah.
Will looked a bit cross.
Only because he was cross with himself. And I think it's very hard to relax and be the, you know, kind of vote winning, kind of lovely guy when you're like furious with yourself.
But that's really important for Strictly. And I thought one of the things that's going to be the difference between the two guys, who are both capable dancers,
I think so.
Was that James's approach to it was much more likeable.
Yeah, I think so. Just because you've got to look like it doesn't mean you know, everything to win or to get to
that
the final.
Trick of playing with high and low stakes. I think that James might have the edge on that, which I wasn't expecting.
You're saying he's more emotionally manipulative than Will.
Yeah, I'm saying it's all a trick. They're all fake. It's terrible. But I sort of thought if it came down to the choice in the two of them, as far as a public vote goes, I think you're rooting for James more.
It's funny because I know the bookies took a huge amount of money on Will last week, and I wonder if that's all going to change this week.
Exactly.
Which is awful because we're just judging on one dance and you're only as good as your last dance, etc. But so Amy and James scored a 5 from Craig, 6s from Motsy and Shirley, and a 7 from Anton. I think you're right. There's potential and there's somewhere for him to go.
Yeah. I want to see what happens next.
Well, you will.
Ooh.
So moving on to, this is my first hit of the night, the first dance I really relaxed and enjoyed watching. It was Ellie and Nikita's waltz to I Can't Help Falling In Love With You. That one. It was just the first time we've seen her properly in a ballroom hold, and they had to talk about, you know, how the adjustments were made for most of the week in rehearsal. It was like, Nikita admitted afterwards, he's like, God, this is a really hard one because we spent so long working at how everything, all those lines would work with our height difference.
Yeah.
I thought we were never going to get going, and actually... It was actually my first favourite dance of the night because it was really emotional. I kind of trusted her completely to hold the lines, to do the footwork. Some of those sort of leans with the leg extensions and stuff was so beautiful. She made lovely shapes. She looked like a dancer, like properly.
Really elegant, wasn't it?
Very elegant. And there was something about the choreography was beautiful and the way they curled into each other on the floor at the end.
Yeah,
it was like sort of little animals sheltering from a storm. Just absolutely emotionally hit my sweet spot. It was lovely.
The storytelling was really good. For something, it wasn't like, as Tom Needham said, there's only two stories. There's man wants woman's having none of it. Another one is two people try and run a business. Those are the two two strictly stories.
They were
the
running
one.
A business?
But actually this one, which is a standard romantic waltz, the storytelling was really good. It was really...
It was lovely.
It was what it was two people looking after each other and making sure they were following each other. And I think that was to do with what Nikita said with the choreography, that normally if you're tucked into each other and really, really
and your
linked.
Bodies are together,
Then the non-dancer can follow and get lots of cues from the dancer. And she was, because she was holding his arm rather than around the waist or on the shoulder, she was having to know all the steps herself. And that made it more technically impressive. And you suddenly went, oh my God, she's, again, backwards in the heel.
And
backwards
she,
in the heels. Yeah. She's doing something really clever.
But she make it look like she was... concentrate. Week two, you still expect to be counting, a little bit stiff. She is a dancer. She has been, I think, from week one a dancer, but this was really, really impressive. Craig said he was looking now for some, you know, some technical stuff, like let's get the heel leads in. And Motsi said it gave her goosebumps. But Craig actually did say it was really good. I think on the whole, they're kind of confounding expectation because I think... I don't know. I've probably fancied a bit that I'd be watching it going, well, it's amazing what she can do for someone who can't reach her partner in the normal way that you can reach your partner. That just, I relaxed. Like some of the dances in sort of this early part of the competition are clenchers and some are non-clenchers. And this was a copper-bottomed non-clencher for me.
If you want to talk about one of the things that's happened as a revolution in Strictly Come Dancing, it's moved from being a thing which is all about who's shagging, who fancies each other, where's the hotness, to this thing which is about learning and teaching and dancing.
Yeah.
And what Rose and Giovanni proved last year is the person you're going, I can't believe she's doing this and she's deaf, have now become as, oh, she's a beautiful dancer.
Yeah.
The thing you're thinking you're going to have to make adjustments for turns out to be no barrier at all to watching someone be beautiful.
Yeah, and she really is, as a dancer, absolutely beautiful to watch. And this is one of my top three of the night, I would say.
Definitely.
So from the judges, Craig and Shirley gave sevens and Motsi and Anton gave eights. I fully concur with the higher mark. And I think she only has further to go in terms of like... And the talent's already there. I think her technique and stuff is going to get some really high marks later in the competition. Okay, so now we move on to a favourite from last week, Helen Skelton with Gorka. And they were doing another sort of Latin-y one. They were doing a cha-cha-cha to something. I've just wrote down the music was awful. I didn't recognise it. It was awful. That was one of those... Sometimes the music really doesn't do you any favours when you've got like a really good routine to sell, but the song never gets going. It's one of those.
It was, they were doing it to "You're Going Home in a Fucking Ambulance."
That's right.
Yeah, you're going home in a fucking ambulance. It was rubbish. Here we go. It was the football chart song from last week. Yeah. It was rubbish.
Doesn't really work.
I can't remember what it was for
really
either.
Held them back.
It was just the music.
But once again, and I'm glad she didn't find her kind of sass 100% this week, because this has to be a journey, slow and steady. Helen did a lot of training this week, which included, you know, standing in front of mirrors and trying to be sexy and look into a mirror. And how on earth that helps, I have no idea. But she's trying to build confidence. She's trying to, you know, reported in the paper, she's had a really crappy year. Husband went off with some young woman, and now she's there with the kids, just trying to be capable. And she's doing this for herself.
I love the way she said that. She said, I can make it through. I'm acceptable. I'm just capable. I'm not sexy.
I am efficient and I'm capable, but I don't do sexy. Exactly. But
that's her journey. That's the journey we're watching.
Exactly. And obviously, the raw material, no one with eyes could say wasn't there. She is ridiculously beautiful and strong, and her body is incredible and capable of doing amazing things. But she doesn't believe it. Yeah. And I think, obviously, as an audience-pleasing quality, that's like, it's hard to beat. And I think when she has her kind of Ranveer from Good Morning Britain kind of blossoming,
yes.
And I'm guessing 2 to 3 episodes time, earlier would be indecent, yeah. it's going to be dynamite. She's going to come out, the styling is going to be amazing, and she'll believe it. She'll look in the mirror and she'll believe it. And it'll be a moment for all womankind to stand behind her and be delighted for her.
She's got a mental journey that you can easily follow. I loved her in episode one. She was my favourite dancer in episode one.
Yeah.
And I loved her in this. It wasn't quite as amazing as episode one, probably because I was expecting it because she was so good.
The week two plateau. Everyone gets nervous because someone's going home.
Exactly. And it was a quick time to sort of, so it seemed quite sort of speedy to suddenly sort of drop off. She didn't drop off, she was just fine.
Yeah.
The thing that got me was that she appeared to be dressed as either Romeo or Michelle from Romeo and Michelle.
Great.
She had the big, big ponytail and
high pony.
A high pony and a blue sort of crazy sort of party dress.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, you're going to be really fun in the movie weeks. And it was some hint of going, oh, when I see you in costume, because you're actually really good, I can't wait to see you unleashing that on something fun.
She wore it very, very well. And I think Craig went straight for the technicalities, which I think it's when you know you're doing okay if you just go straight for this is what you did wrong.
Because, your leg fell off.
Because
no,
he
not
didn't
that.
Just, he wasn't lost for words. He didn't say, as he did with a later competitor, stiff, stiff, stiff.
Yeah.
I don't think he meant that in a good way. I'm stiff, stiff, stiff.
Very adjudicator friendly.
Craig said that Helen's legs were bent throughout, which means that's not cha-cha, which means she, the whole technical thing was thrown off. Obviously, as me, punter, layperson watching, I loved watching it. Again, I love watching her. Nary a clench happens when I'm watching Helen. And I think that's great. If technique is all that's wrong, well, you've only just started, so Brilliant. You can improve on that. You have the talent. You're there. And I love Anton's final word was just like he banged his fist against his heart and said, more of this, more of this. And I think that's it. We know her journey is clear. All she has to do is follow her path to her destiny. So Craig, on that note, gave her a 5 because, you know, he's a technical stickler. Motsi a 7, Shirley a 7 and Anton an 8. And yeah, I think she's going. I think she could go all the way. Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. She's in my mind. She's a good, solid finalist. I'd like to see
that. OK, so now we go on to Tony and Katya, who did the first Charleston of the series. I think it's the first Charleston, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Was there one last week? No. God, if there was, I can't remember it. There's too many dances. To My Old Man's a Dustman. Traditionally, this is the kind of dance that Katya gets when she's been naughty and too sexy with one of her partners and she has to do something sexless or asexual for a week. They also made her go to a pie shop and eat pie, which, I'm sorry, I live in East London. I've been to a pie shop and eaten pie. The liquor's quite nice, but the pies are absolute dog food. They're really not good. So clearly the producer's not liking her very much.
Naughty Katya.
And she pretended to like the pie. So, you know, well done all round to Katya. Again, her routines so often pull a very average or even not a very good dancer out of the mire and elevate them to something else.
Yeah.
And I was actually really shocked with how she managed to get Tony Adams' legs and arms looking like they were almost in the right place
at
that point.
It was very clever, wasn't it?
Genuinely, great routine.
Just go for a Dick Van Dyke, step in time, kind of old bamboo kind of routine. Because he's a bit like that. And it was very clever. It was
played
cockney.
To his strengths. Yes, exactly.
I think next week, do the nutty train.
Do you know what? That's what they're going to have to do now. Just literally anything that sort of, that will fit his legs and arms into those awkward shapes. But it was a great routine. I think it was a really fun Charleston. He cocked up, he made mistakes. But
he cockneyed up, so it's fine.
He cockneyed up. He did it all in a flat cap. Lovely. Obviously, Anton loved it very much. But Craig, this was famously the dance that Craig said made him stiff, stiff, stiff. Actually, I don't think that's what he meant.
No.
Tony wasn't impressing him. Tony clearly has a vote because, as we know, as we'll discuss, he didn't end up in the dance-off this week. So, which I was surprised at because he's always bottom of the table or very near the bottom. So the marks were Craig 4, fair enough. And all the other judges agreed 6s. Motsi said she could even see some improvement. I could see some improvement.
Yeah, totally.
But he definitely, and we know it's not a dancing competition, it's so much more than that. If you were just going on ability, I mean, he's definitely...
Yeah.
If this is the Squid Game, then the bullet's coming to him, let's face it. But it didn't. And let's discuss why. Why? Why not Tony? Why?
He's... Early on, you need a blend of people who can definitely do it and some people who are interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And this was... Last week, I thought he was... I mean, he was on a straddling a cannon, doing the Widdicombe, that kind of thing.
He was
As
the
you said, you know you're the Widdicombe.
Yeah.
It needs the Widdicombe early on. I don't think there's
the will... You
can't
do it without it.
Someone will have enjoyed it. And also, there are massive football fans out there. There are dads on the sofa watching it as well, and their kids, and not only boys like football.
Yeah,
He's
yeah.
a big, big star.
Yeah.
And watching him... watching him do, again, the basics of Strictly Come Dancing are Eric and Ernie and the cartwheeling newsreaders. Part of this is wanting to watch people from sport and from newsreading do something they can't do.
Is it a fish out of water entertainment format?
It's that,
is that
kind
what you're
of
saying?
Thing, okay, yes. Cool. And without the fish out of water, it doesn't work. And after a while, everyone gets tired of them and dumps them. But you need them for the beginning.
It's like flush the fish down the loo.
Yes, exactly.
We won it at a fairground. It was fun for a while. We don't know what to feed it. It's dead. Okay,
yeah,
get
rubbish.
Rid of it.
But yeah. They'll always last a bit at the beginning. And I think the people who tend to go at the beginning tend to be unfortunate rather than the people who are terrible at dancing.
Oh, yeah. Completely agree. Anyway, so the judges' marks, I think, were generous on the whole. Craig was probably a bit more realistic, but, you know, he didn't do badly.
Well done.
So now we move on to Ellie and Johannes, who are doing the first passo of the series, always very excited by a passo, but again, also slightly worried when someone gets it too early because it's very hard. The character of that dance is so, like, huge and big. The only person I'd say they should have given a passo to in week two is, like, Jade Adams, because she can just sell anything and make you think she's not worried at all. But it's a very, you know, it's the one where it always looks like you turn the volume down, but they're shouting at their next door neighbour for putting something next to the fence or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like their mouths are always gaping with some kind of, like, insult. Like, they always look like they're silently shouting at someone. And Ellie did a bit of that. She really did. And I thought her shaping and her just the way she held herself was really impressive. I also really like the little technical bit beforehand in the training video where Johannes is explaining the elements of passo, like the bits that you need about the flamenco influence. The thing we were talking about in the military marching, just like hearing about the dances and where they come from, or just little bits of info.
Let me know what the judges know.
Yeah.
And it makes it much easier for you to understand their comments.
Yeah, that's true. Just give us a little bit of info. So that was really interesting. And then she actually, I thought, performed pretty amazingly.
Yeah, sure.
Although, you know, when there's a dance like that where it's sort of like punch, punch, bang, bang, attack, attack, do you find yourself sitting forward and just like almost like when you're trying to get a car to go up a hill? And even though leaning forward makes no difference, you do lean forward as the car's going.
You're willing it on.
And I was willing her to be just to like make everything a bit more staccato and fight. And
you're sitting in the position of The Rock in the film San Andreas, where he's trying to get his boat to go up a hill, using his muscles to make the boat go faster. Because the stronger The Rock is, the faster the boat will go. That's how boats
work.
You're
always just waiting for an excuse to mention that scene in San Andreas, and I don't know why.
Boat uphill. God, that's cinema. Right. I think you watch those very dramatic dances with that, so especially with an unskilled or a nervous performer. I loved, and it was my favourite moment, it's odd to say it was a decent dance,
I thought it was good. I really liked it.
When she released and they were on the floor and
she
just flopped.
Yeah.
And you went, oh, and her legs and arms went back to their natural position, which is slightly gangly. And I went, oh, there you were.
Exactly.
It was that contrast of revealing her. She sort of came out of the character. I went, oh, I now appreciate how hard that was for you.
But that's not natural for your limbs to be yanked into
really
those positions.
Really charming, I thought that was.
I again, another person I love to watch, another person whose journey I'm genuinely invested in already. I just think she's got loads of talent, and I was expecting her to be one of those women that looked beautiful but couldn't dance for shit, and she's literally not that.
No.
I think she was trying to tell everyone that's who she was before she started, and she just isn't. She's got talent. I can see her doing that at the end of the run when they pick a dance for you to do again. That one, when she's got full bite, attack, will be so exciting to watch again.
She's got a lot of potential. I want to know where she goes.
Me too.
Yeah.
To the final! So the judges were all over the shop. Craig ridiculously gave her a 4, which he can actually shove up his bum.
Yeah.
Motsi gave her a 7. Shirley a 5, which I thought was stingy, and then Anton a 7. The judges not in agreement with about her, I think. But so it's really weird. Sometimes Craig goes technical and really hard line, and sometimes he's just a bit more generous than he needs to be. And it's never quite clear how he makes those decisions or why.
Which Craig will we get?
Exactly. But I think that was way more than a 4. Absolute bombings.
Yeah, totally.
So next we had a horror. I was tense for this one. Richie and Giovanni doing a quick step to a song called Dancing Fool, I think, which I didn't know, but was very jolly. And Richie was the one last week who just came out all guns blazing. And almost danced out of the studio.
It was a race,
so
wasn't it?
Yeah,
he was going to finish first.
He was ahead of the music. He barely kept himself in the studio, let alone like in the confines of my TV screen. He was just too excited. And we can all hard relate to that. It must be very, very exciting being on Strictly for the first time. This week, he really, really smashed it. He was doing a quick step, which is very disciplined and obviously super fast. But crucially, he didn't out-gallop the music. He seemed to stay in...
It suited him.
in simpatico with it. Absolutely. Craig said it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And he did say it like that. Motsy said he was a beautiful dancer. Shirley said that he was really synchronized with Gio when he was doing some of the side-by-side stuff. And Anton said he was a real showman. So the potential I thought he'd dazzle us with in week one, he saved for week two. Clever Richie.
It was very good. I thought it was a dance that suited him. He was a very, very big character in season one, in episode one.
And, That's how long it's been. Six years ago when they started.
All that
this
time
thing.
Ago at the beginning of this episode. But he was very, very, he was larger than life, and he had that big face and big expressions and things. But I thought he was like a cartoon character. And then suddenly you have this thing which is basically like a level from Cuphead or something from. from The Mask or Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And he had the elasticity and the bounce of a cartoon character.
He really does.
And the music was a little bit like something you'd have from a Warner Brothers cartoon. And I suddenly went, oh, this is you. His Charleston's going to take the roof off. He's got the ability to do those big characters.
Oh, my God. If he can harness the power of whatever it is he's got.
It's really good to watch.
And he could go far.
Last week I clenched because it was too much.
Completely.
And suddenly he'd matched the energy of the dance. And if he can learn from that and rein it in, it's really good.
That's it. I think him and Fleur East both came in going, I have to give everything. And this week I think both of them learned that if you have the power and then you deploy it carefully,
discipline,
it can be quite something. So he got 8 from Motsy, 8 from Shirley, 8 from Anton, and then, well, an 8 from Craig, which is just like unheard of. And Craig didn't really give any indication that he was about to shower him with. I mean, an 8 from Craig is like a 10 from anybody else. Yeah. It's huge, especially this early on. So I think Richie, again, one of two people this week who really stepped up and looked like contenders when last week was like, oh, they're not that good.
You're starting to see the shape of the last. You're starting to see who might be at Blackpool. You're starting to see who might be in the last runs. I think, oh, if there's any justice, you go, oh, these people are going to be the people I'm going to watch for a long time.
It's a crowded field. I think actually there are a lot of potential semi and finalists here. Okay, so talking of Fleur, her and Vito this week did a Viennese waltz. And she was definitely better than last week.
Yeah.
And she looked amazing. I love the styling with the kind of the ponytail, this huge plume of hair coming out the back of her head. She looked great. And I think it was a thing where she had all that energy. Last week, it kind of just exploded. This week she was very controlled, but a Viennese waltz is like it's lots of very spinny bits. It was a very contemporary version of a Viennese waltz. So there was lots of sort of slightly modern arm movements where, you know, she's like that gesture where you kind of put your arm out and say no to the person trying to.
It was storytelling heavy, wasn't it?
There's a lot of that.
Usually in Viennese waltz, the story is we're going round and round and round. And they actually had some more refusal and acceptance, and it was good. I liked
it. Well, I think it was good that Vito was trying to match it to her. She's young and she's not like an old fuddy-duddy or fusty and her body and everything. She looked great in the dress that she was in. They didn't give her like the huge chiffon skirt and all of that stuff. They were trying to bring it slightly more up to date, I think.
Told you something about Vito as well, because he's new and you want to know what the choreography's going to like. And Anton would give you a trad waltz.
Yeah, for sure.
But Vito appears to be someone who wants to bring contemporary dance in and things.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay, you're going to be, the pair of you are going to be interesting to watch. And it allowed her to do something which she is really good at, which is performance.
Careful
she's a
now.
Really
good
performer.
Are you saying because he's 11-time Italian Latin champion that he's some kind of ballroom subversive who's going to try and like, basically come in and, you know, upturn centuries of tradition, because
like
Anton
film,
won't stand for it.
A bit like the film Strictly Ballroom, which is named after this show.
I've never heard of it. so Anton did say he loved her refinement and that she was kind of, you know, learning to control herself. I like that Tess nearly forgot to ask Craig. She always forgets one of the judges at least once a series or once an episode, and it's usually Craig, which is like probably doesn't go down very well. Maybe it's like just a quiet diss. But he actually did say she was a gorgeous dancer.
Yeah.
And Shirley said she appreciated the contemporary sort of elements but saw some foot faults. And Motsy said her core is good, but now it's time to... Phileris is clearly someone who works out and is strong.
Yeah.
So that core takes you a long way in Strictly because you can control your body. But it's about putting your... I don't know, when sometimes you watch those rehearsal videos and it's like, I have to put my foot like this. And then they show you how weirdly out of shape they have to bend themselves. It's like, you know, when you first play guitar and you try and get your left fingers on the right fret.
Yeah.
It's like, well, my hand doesn't go that shape. It's not, it won't do it. And it's like they're doing that with various different parts of their body.
Yes.
And I should remember that sometimes when they're doing like a ballroom, especially, they are bent into the most bizarre shapes. It's what you said about Ellie and her collapsing into her normal sort of like form. And just, it's so tricky. So, the scores, it was a 7 from Craig, a 7 from Anton, an 8 from Motsi and a 6 from Shirley. Good, solid mid-table performance. I think she has places to go.
Yes, it'd be interesting to see. I like her a lot. I think the performance is what I like. Can we also point out as well, because last week Motsi came as a member of the Naboo Trade Federation. She's continuing her classic sci-fi outfits. We're going to watch this. This week, 1979 era Uhura.
Oh, yes.
It was good. She was proper Star Trek the Motion Picture.
It's like green spangles.
Yeah, and a big afro. It was great. Yeah. It was really good. It was sort of late 70s Nichelle Nichols. She's getting some good looks.
Is she sending you signals through the television? Or just nerds in general?
next time, Dalek, Santarum, could be anything. I'm waiting to see what happens next.
Okay, so now we move on to Kay and Kai, who did a Charleston to a song that I thought was called Put Another Nickel in the Nickelodeon, but apparently it's called Music, Music, Music.
Yeah, rubbish. They've named that wrong, haven't
music,
they?
Music, music, music.
Yeah.
Dance, dance, dance.
I
thought she was terrific. I was expecting a kind of lady version of the Tony Adams routine that we'd just seen, where someone with limited ability and sort of not a lot of natural swish and sway was going to gamely sort of throw herself around. She was brilliant. She had rhythm, musicality, the lift where she was basically upside down above Kai's head. Genuinely, this one completely knocked me for six. I wasn't expecting it. Also, the energy that you need to keep up from beginning to end. I don't care how short these routines are. Like, that's a lot to put somebody in their 50s through in terms of just, like, the energy you need to maintain it right to the end.
It was the reverse of what they did with Tony Adams, which is to go, OK, you're a bit clumpy.
Yeah.
We'll give you a clumpy routine.
Yeah.
She'd been a bit stiff, and they went, right, we want something where you're all bounce and vigour.
It was like watching a different woman
this
week.
They pushed her the other way, and Kai had found something. Kai, who in rehearsal had a baseball cap on backwards, like that Steve Buscemi meme with Hey Fellow Kids. He's trying to look like he's his actual age rather than 56.
Or it's that dog in The Simpsons.
He's Poochie. Poochie Kai arrived. And I went, oh, where's this going to go? And the answer was he was trying to make everything feel younger and not do there are two people in here who are mum and dad of the Adams family.
That's it.
And he said, don't be older. Don't play it older. Do an old-fashioned song, but do it with loads of energy and spring. I thought the hair and makeup was brilliant.
She looked so good.
She looked half her age and she danced half her age. It was really good.
She totally did. And everything about it was surprising and impressive. And then Craig took out his four paddle.
What was that about?
Which, well, WTF, that's all I said. And I did say that.
Yes.
The full, with without
all
the acronym.
Letters.
So cross. And the other judges gave her sixes. I think that the hard work she put in this week was not rewarded commensurately with what... Because genuinely, it just showed... Tony was delightful and a bit better, but shambolic. She was really, really bouncy and good. And the judges were so hard on her.
What are the scores?
Craig was a 4 and the others were 6s. What are you even listening to me? I'm sitting right opposite you. That's what
no,
I just told you.
I was still
you.
Too shocked by Craig's 4 to even take it. So basically,
it was really
low scored. And the other thing that I wrote down, the other thing which it reminded me of, she has a look of Penelope Keith about her.
Aww.
There was a Penny Keithness about her. And I went, oh, this looks like where Margot's broken loose and is suddenly laughing.
I love it.
It had a lovely thing of she'd been stiff last week and suddenly you went, oh. And so it's really disappointing to think that was a really interesting transformation, a really interesting beginning of a really interesting journey that we're not going to see.
I know.
And
it's
she's getting bad, bad marks and it's just rubbish.
Boo! Anyway, moving on now to lovely, lovely Hamza and Yavita, who did a jive to Blinded by the Light.
Yes.
And now, talking of, the TV sending you messages to your weird nerd brain, this one began on a Tron bike.
Yes, a week early. Our kid went, this is Tron, movie week's next week. How dare you do Tron early?
I guess they should have really held on to it for another week. But
it's good. I like the Tron styling.
And I apologise for terming it like this because I'm no sort of lightweight myself, but I just wrote down, there's no way a little dumpy lad should be able to move that fast. And I don't know why I wrote it in Geordie either, but I did.
But you did.
He was absolutely brilliant, I thought. Yeah. After his ballroom start last week, I didn't expect so very much from a jive. I thought, well, I mean, his hair alone must weigh about the same as another person. Like, how do you bounce up and down?
He's doing a lift constantly. He's carrying something heavy.
A small person constantly hanging onto his head. His side-by-side stuff was amazing. Even if you factor in the fact that they're wearing these matching black kind of, you know, one-piece outfits.
With piping.
With the neon orange piping down the side. So when their legs were side-by-side, or at one point there was that really nice side-by-side that was done as a front and back thing, their legs were absolutely, to my eyes, in sync. He was retracting as much as she was.
It was unforgiving,
wasn't
it?
Quickly. It's so unforgiving because when you're wearing, and we used to find that with any couple where the two of them are kind of dressed the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Like same trousers or whatever. You're looking at the legs and you can't help but directly compare
them. Because if one's in a swishy gown and one's in trousers,
much harder to
do it.
You can
disguise it.
But this was so impressive. I thought, just in particular, that side-by-side stuff was amazing. The judges picked up, both Craig and Anton were talking about how his feet were turned in and that was wrong. And okay, sure, technical, blah, blah, blah. But come on, let's talk about the bounce of the guy. Motsi said she could see him counting and then it was really obvious when he'd counted wrong because she used to see him like trying to get the numbers back. Which obviously, again, I didn't see. I was watching on TV. My eyesight's terrible. I enjoyed it very much.
That's what happens if you're Intron. It's all digital. It's just numbers. It's ones and zeros. That's
you don't count, you're dead. Always think of the binary. Shirley said it was heavy, which I was really surprised by because I just wanted to kind of burst through the screen and go, wow, look at you. You're amazing. Look at you bouncing across the amazing. But clearly that's why I'm not a judge.
Yeah.
So the paddles came out. Craig four again, like clearly again, he always has moods, you know, where he just dips and just gives everyone like, you know, humbug, bah, humbug.
He needs more Haribo.
Then he kind of perks back up again. I swear it's meds. So Craig a four, Motsi a seven, correct. Shirley a six, and Anton a seven, correct. I really enjoyed it. Again, it was he's always one of my favorite. Well, always it's been 2 weeks, but again another one of my favorite dancers of the night because there's something about the energy of the two of them together, and something about his just sheer gameness and concentration and earnestness. But also, I think it yields results. I think they're being far too hard on him, and I think he's an audience favorite.
He's earnest in just the right way.
Because
there are big
not
questions.
Like Matt Goss earnest.
Yeah, or even or as we revealed this summer with Will, and I think there's an exact earnestness that you need, which Bill Bailey got exactly right last time around. I'm fun. I'm taking this seriously. And can we just say as well, as a little, it's lovely to have Anton there because you always miss the other judges. They come and go, and you miss them. Whatever. Anton, so far, his paddles have come up, and I've agreed with it every single time.
His paddles have come up. I thought, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Have your paddles
swollen
come up?
Paddles. But when his paddle comes up each time, I go, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
He seems to not be playing a baddie or a goodie. He's
I
not
agree.
Being too soft. Generally, he seems to be that's what he's there for. He's the audience's voice.
Is he the Liberal Democrats? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying he's very middle.
Centrist dad.
Yeah, okay,
centrist
fair
dad
enough.
Anton is there. But I think generally he's really reading. I mean, he's very good at this. He reads the room and the general vibe of the last judge very often. It comes along, pulls up and you go, yeah, that was a seven. I've been really liking him for that.
Totally. And I also really like Jovita. I've got like such a kind of dance crush on her because I don't know, she's giving off excellent vibes. Yeah. I think with him, she's a great partner as well. Obviously, all the professional dancers are proud of their person and blah, 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 blah. But she said, I loved how she just took a moment with the Claudia interview at the end to say, I see his talent.
Yeah.
This is not me just going, oh, yeah, isn't it nice? Sweet guy who points his, you know, lens at, you know, bears. He's having a funny little holiday with me. It's like, no. I can see his talent. And I thought, I love you for that. So can I. Good. Okay, so now we move on to Kim and Graziano, who did another Viennese waltz, this time to Runaway by the Corrs.
The beautiful Corrs.
They're beautiful. They're the Corrs. They're beautiful. I'm sorry, I don't know why we always do that when we ever say the Corrs.
Ant and Dec, wasn't it? That's an SMTV
I think joke. Yes, it is,
let's
isn't
keep it?
It
alive.
That's right.
The beautiful Corrs.
Very underrated comedy back then. I really like that. So I wrote down that this was romantic. She didn't puke. That's good. Craig didn't like her frame. Shirley loved her feet and the fact that she attempted an early fleckle.
Mm.
I love the word fleckle. Fleckerl. It's spelled as a weird little
what?
Word. I love it.
No.
Yeah, fleckerl. Anton said he liked it a lot, but she needs to widen her sidestep. She's not going far enough, so she can't kind of... It's the propulsion, isn't it, with this one? When you're kind of twirling. So she was really worried about the twirling because she gets very, very sort of travel sick. And so the no puking thing, like big achievement. It's always a big achievement.
Well, her spins were great.
They were terrific.
I thought she's looked really good, isn't she?
She is really good. I think... So the marks from the judges on this one, Craig gave her a six and everyone else a seven. So clearly she is one of the better dancers technically already. But she has in common, I think, with James and Amy this week, they did their dances. I enjoyed them. And then I just thought that was nice. Yeah. But I didn't go,
You're not surprised.
I was just sort of, oh, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, I think you're not surprised that she can do it, which I think is part of the story at the beginning. You want to be surprised, which is exactly why you're enjoying Hamza. You go, oh, my God, I didn't know this guy could do this. She gives off the impression of someone who would be controlled and elegant and things. I really like watching her dance. I think she's a very, very good dancer to watch.
Yeah.
So I think if she does last, there'll be an interesting journey. I think because I think she will improve, and she's got natural ability. And for her to say, I get really travel sick, I don't like the spins, and then to the spins she did.
Yeah.
I went, oh, I don't think I'm noticing how clever you are.
Yes, I know. I think I'm probably just sort of, she's washing over me because of the sheer number of dances.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm probably noticing the more kind of unusual ones, the more unlikely good people, because you kind of expect her to be good.
I like her as well. I've decided
she's,
I like her.
Yeah, she's incredibly likeable. She also, because she presents that mid-morning show that the Strictly Professionals, what's the only other show they're allowed to go on that's not Strictly.
Yeah.
Get out of your cage, do the show, and then come straight back to your cage where we hose you down again with the cold water. But that she does that show, so she's kind of associated with the Strictly universe in a way that I think the people who watch that will probably also phone in and vote for her. And I reckon... Yeah. Vote-wise, she probably will do quite well as well, because she does. She seems like a lovely lass. I also really enjoyed, because I think their routine was the one round the wishing well. And just before that...
To be sure.
The lovely chorus of the wishing well. Is that racist to use in a wishing well with Irish... I don't know. Anyway, it's cultural appropriation, I'm sure, at the very best. And I loved how Tess tossed a coin into the wishing well, and then they cut to Claudia and said, did it work, Claudia? And Claudia was there in a full veil with a bouquet marrying Dave Arch, which was one of my favourite moments of the night, because I know for a fact... She probably jokes about it. She probably is deeply in love with Dave Arch. That's the kind of crush that Claudia has.
Oh, so we can ship this. This is our new shipping. Brilliant. Lovely. Good.
But obviously, you know, obviously Claudia and Dave's partners aside.
Now the dancers aren't allowed to have sex anymore. We can just ship Dave Arch and Claudia. This is perfect. Brilliant.
But
lovely.
Now they're married and it's lovely. Anyway, so Kim and Graziani, they got a 6 and 3 7s. You can guess who the 6 was from. yes. Again, another one who's probably, possibly could go quite a long way, I think. Okay, so now we move on to controversial Matt and Nadia, who are doing a samba to Night Fever. This dance, I say controversial, it's not really. This dance is the one that made me feel least comfortable.
Yes.
And it's mostly about psychology, isn't it? About looking at Matt and how he came out last week, sort of a bit cock of the walk. He plays humble, but you kind of think, oh, you're quite confident. And, you know, if you don't do a Vegas residency and then kind of think humble thoughts about yourself, do you? You probably think, I'm pretty great. All these people paying hundreds of dollars to see me every night. I'm amazing. So to come from that, to come back to this country, you know, with a hat that's clearly far too big for his head. He looked like Avid Merrion or whatever character he is when he wears the stupid hats. Well, maybe that's just the real Lee Francis. I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
The hat guy, anyway. He looked like him. He's come back here.
It's a Pharrell hat, isn't it? It just occurred to me.
Oh, that's right. It's
someone else Cool's hat. He's stolen Pharrell's hat.
He really needs to give it back. He threw it off at the beginning of this dance routine to kind of become, you know, Travolta in Night Fever or Saturday Night Fever. I didn't really see anything in terms of samba. That's supposed to be the bouncy, rolling hips one, isn't it?
There was
none of that. Didn't do that. But he's come back to this country and I feel like expecting to kind of be not in a mean way, but expected to kind of be venerated and loved and swamped with all that love because that documentary was so big a couple of years ago, and just, you know, that everyone would be delighted to have him back. And he's sort of, it's the brilliant thing about Strictly is that he's not the best dancer there. He's also not, in terms of the, I know it's awful, but the popularity contest, not the most beloved, sweet-seeming guy. He's got that weird sort of American sincerity thing that we talked about, which is quite off-putting for British viewers. And you can see in his eyes, this is not what he thought it was going to be. And I think...
It makes it uncomfortable to watch.
It is
uncomfortable. The stakes are too high for him.
Because this week he looked nervous and like, whatever he was doing last week, I think he was fairly confident. This week he kept looking at Nadia, little pensive, what's next? There were moments where he just stopped dancing and was looking at her going, what do we do now?
Yes, he kept looking to her.
And it was really, really uncomfortable to watch. I also, the training montage this week really bleaked me out. So I know that obviously they're in the middle of getting their dancing done and they're doing their thing. And then because it was his birthday, Nadia came in with like a carrot cake in her hand, like a bit, it was slightly too big to be a cupcake, but too small to be a cake.
Yeah.
And it was like the size of the palm of her hand. She brought the cake in and some balloons and went, hey, partner. In that way, you just think you don't like him. She's so insincere. I'm sorry. She just seems insincere. Maybe she's not. But she came in with his cake. And then because he didn't know what to do, he kind of took the whole cake in his hand which I guess you should cut a slice out of, and just sort of bit into it like you don't bite into a massive cake that's supposed to be cut into bits. It just made me feel really sad and bleak. And that was his birthday, like some lonely balloons from this birthday. Angry Russian lady with like a bleak cake that he sort of bit into and then went, thanks. It was just,
something odd about it. And I can't work it out. What I find really strange about it is I loved that documentary, was great. And the two of them came over oddly really well.
Well,
and
the brothers Bros.
They came over really well. They sort of came back into the hearts of the nation.
And the national consciousness.
And we kind of went, oh, I like their songs. They were a good pop band. They were a good, what they went through. I like what they represent. And what's come back and you go, oh, one of the things that was funny when you watched that documentary was how seriously they took themselves. He took himself.
He certainly
even
does,
more than Luke. And that sincerity, that lack of a sense of humour.
Mm.
And he's not like a witless man, but he takes himself very seriously. Is an absolute national crime.
Yeah.
And it's the thing. I kept thinking, this is the second
person.
You've
got a laugh, innit?
This is the second person I thought about Penelope Keith.
Oh.
And I thought about the Penny Keith. I'm starchy. What's funny about Penelope Keith's character, why you love Margot, is she lacks a sense of humour about herself.
Yeah.
And when you love her is when she suddenly realises she's ridiculous.
When she and relents you warm up, and which goes,
is what,
oh.
Which is what Kay did this week.
Yeah.
And that's what basically all the dancers do, is they realise they're a bit ridiculous and they enjoy themselves. And
he
what Matt's
do
not
it,
doing, he's back to, we said it last week, he's the kind of person who turns up for Halloween dressed as a sexy cowboy.
Because
he doesn't want to dress as a corn cob or something
like
that.
I know, because he'd never do that.
So this week, what's his dance? I'm going to dress as the sexiest man who's ever danced. And he kind of went, you can't do that. You've got to be a lobster sometimes.
And yeah, you could see it in the way that the judges were talking to him afterwards, because I think they could see in his eyes that he was kind of, he'd lost all self-belief, which for someone with no other setting than self-belief is like, it's really odd to watch.
It's troubling, isn't it? I find him worrying, not because I don't like him. I actually quite like him. I want him to not get hurt.
If he could, I don't know, get drunk or loosen up or something, that would be amazing. But I just don't think I don't think he knows how. And that actually breaks my heart a bit.
He's sitting there going, why is it funny?
Yes, exactly. But yeah, no, it's not fun to watch. I don't know why. Anton was being, but you could tell the judges were being really nice. Anton was saying that I love your groove and your thrust. And he made a big thing of thrusting at him. So he didn't have to say anything about his dance. Because he was like, come on, let's thrust together. That was very uncomfortable. Craig said he was distracted by his white trousers, but he wasn't really. He was just like, oh God, I don't want to say anything. They're all feeling quite bad about actually saying, what was that? You know,
don't want to hurt
the women were slightly more honest. So Craig gave him a 4. Motsi, Shirley and Anne all went with 6s, which I thought was quite generous. I think he looked really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And Samba's really hard. I mean, they're all really hard. Samba is particularly hard, I think. But the combination of everything made this my least favourite dance of the night.
Yes, and that's a shame.
And then we had to watch it again. So the revelation, I think, of this week, and Motsi called him the most improved, was Tyler dancing with Diane, obviously, a jive to Hit the Road, Jack. I thought this was terrific.
It was very adjudicator-friendly, wasn't it? Very adjudicator-friendly.
It was completely adjudicator-friendly. I mean, friendly.
Yeah.
More than
over-friendly.
Friendly,
yeah.
Mm. Go on, what did you think of it?
I wrote slick, and I wrote down, he jumped over Diane's head.
And she barely even did a duck when he jumped over Diane's head.
Yeah, as in, they are a brilliant partnership. I mean,
so good.
How can you not love Diane anyway? She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
But the pair of them together, he is matching her for energy, and she's giving him these big, ludicrous, memorable choreographed moments very early on.
Yeah.
And he's acing them.
He
it's
really
brilliant.
Is. Like, he's making, I think he made this look, because obviously it's a jive, so it's like, you know, it's a hyperactive dance.
Yeah.
He managed to make it both physically pinpoint sort of perfect punchy retractions, but while looking laid back. I'm not sure how
it's
he did
cool,
that.
It's cool, isn't it?
He was cool while doing a jive, which I think is almost impossible. It was a kind of a Bonnie and Clyde thing. They're kind of robbing a bank and da-da-da.
There's two people trying to run a business. It's a crime
business.
There are
two people trying to run a business. Thank you for pointing out the
Tom
truth.
Tom Neenan has worked it out. Right? It's either ladies having none of this or running a business.
Okay, right.
Thanks, Tom.
But so the styling was beautiful. Diane looked wonderful. Like one of those kind of like Faye Dunaway berries and the kind of the 1930s get-up. They looked fabulous together. So, so gorgeous.
They're murderers, but they're fun murderers.
Sexy murderers.
Sexy murder.
Well, they should do that again for Halloween week, I think, because sexy murderers, I think, is a great disguise for Halloween. Shirley, before even the end of the dance, Shirley was up. And I like to think of that as like Shirley being just erect, like her whole body was an erection. And she just said to him, quivering as she spoke, "You're the real deal."
Yeah.
Because I think she's one, delighted that he came out in week one and said, "You're my favourite judge, winky winky," and then two,
blatant.
he's actually now, last week it was like, oh, I thought you'd be kind of amazing off the bat. This week he did.
Yeah.
Not what he should have done in week one, because it's nicer to have this as a lovely surprise for week two. But he was confident and good and not to anything, just like, it was a, like a week two masterclass, this dance
consummate.
Was. Anton said, you owned it. Consummate is right. Craig just said everything was positive. And yeah, like I said, Motsi called him the most improved. Craig gave him a 7. Everyone else gave him 8s. I think now he's one to watch. He's exciting. He's a contender.
Yeah.
In a way that I thought maybe I'd think he was last week. Now he's in the race. Okay, don't worry. There's only 2 dances to go. So this is another one of my favourites.
Dear Nine on the dance floor. So long.
No, you can't go to the toilet. Jade and Karen did a tango to Rumour Has It by Adele. So this was Jade's like crowning glory. Only week two, she said. She's like a pig in shit. She loves Adele. She used to be an Adele. I love it. She's an Adele drag act.
I don't think she's going to turn up next week.
Why would you?
I've done it. And
I think I'd just like stage his appearance like that canoe guy and just like pretend I died and never come back.
This is what she's in this for. She was so happy. And this is, yeah, perfect.
It was really great. I'm absolutely loving the way they're styling her so far. So she kind of gets to be, I guess there's no man and no woman in their dances thus far, but they're certainly, she's leading when a lead is required. They're styling both of them so beautifully, but I've loved Jade's outfit 2 weeks in a row. They make her look both feminine and strong and like, you know, if you were a West End producer, you'd be going, Mama Morton, has she not played that part yet? Why hasn't she been cast in Chicago yet?
Yeah.
She's so commanding, but also feminine, but also that she's such a presence.
For a comedian, they're not making her funny.
Oh, no.
What's funny is how serious and good she is.
Yeah.
Which I think they got that confidence from Bill Bailey again. Don't make a joke of
her. I feel like she's the Bill Bailey.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, she's a Strictly superfan, so this does mean a lot to her. Yeah. Obviously, it means a lot to everyone we know. But this genuinely is something she's wanted for years and has tried to make happen for years. And now she's finally on TV enough that they kind of, I guess, considered her. But she's also going to and is willing to put absolutely everything into this. She has lots of dance talent in there. Yeah. She's kind of like my perfect Strictly contestant, really, because nary a clench when I'm watching her.
Yeah.
And tango is always really difficult because I think Argentine tango is so fun to watch. But tango, you can never quite tell as a layman if they're doing it right or not, because they could just be a bit jerky and it's not, there's a lot less fluidity. You can't tell if they're dancing it right, because it's not so much a dance as more of a series of complicated things. Yeah, I think so.
It's all about striking a pose.
Well, it's
isn't
also
it?
What they said about Ellie's tangos, that she was just, Craig said, oh, you're just walking around and striking poses, which I didn't think was true at all. But it's really hard to tell unless you know whether it's being done right. I think this was, again, just, obviously, you're looking at Jade's face a lot because she is giving you a lot of face. But I did look at her feet this time as well, and I thought her footwork was pretty damn good.
Keep remembering, she is drawing focus from Karen, who is one of the best dancers
Ridiculous.
And one of the most beautiful people on earth. And you keep looking away from her and going, oh, God, there's that other woman there.
Yeah, exactly.
She is doing brilliantly, following the marks. And I wrote down, again, this is a boring thing to write, I wrote in storytelling. The storytelling
really,
was really,
really good,
which is what you need for this thing. And the storytelling we're also watching is Jade living her dream, which is a lovely story.
It's so beautiful. I think there's something about the intelligence with which this partnership is being deployed that really makes me love it, because the choreography is always just right. The way they're presenting them in terms of costume and makeup and hair and everything is just right. It's almost like, I don't know, same-sex couples are hard, they're still working it out. Mm. But this just seems to be the template now.
Yes, really
whatever good. They're doing it, do it like that. I think she's just superb.
It's sexy without being sexual.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, you've got beyond this now. This whole series I've really enjoyed for it going beyond the Curse of Strictly thing about going, oh, it's hot when they rub together, which
is the cliche
you always said. This year I'm fascinated, and it's almost none of it's down to hot pairings.
Yeah.
But it's really sexy.
Although now you said that, and I'm thinking about Jade and Karen doing a rumba, and I'm getting some funny feelings in my tummy.
It's flattering.
I won't deny it.
In a different way.
Anyway, so Craig gave them a 6. So did Shirley and Motsi and Anton 7s. Again, another good, solid mid-table. They come a bit too low in the table for me, but I think they're really good. And I think, oh, God, they must stay in for weeks to come. There's so many interesting things they could do. And obviously, I want to see them rumba so I can perv on that. Thank you very much.
Very adjudicator friendly.
So finally, we get to the last dance of the night. It's Molly and Carlos who quick-stepped to Love on Top by Beyoncé. And they had broleography, they had matching yellow and blue suits, and they had very fast footwork. It was brilliant. I wish I had anything else to say.
Yeah.
Did good, they, good, solid show closing. Wow.
They fluffed the brolly hook.
They did just one fluff, yeah.
And kept going, which yeah. I went, oh, this is, they're going to fall.
She's a pro.
And that impressed me. And I wrote down, my main note was, disgusting young people energy.
Yes, it was disgusting.
It was disgusting.
Thank you.
It needs to be stopped. But I think that's both her massive advantage is that she is incredibly good. And he, I'm liking him. He's got loads and loads of a new energy that
I really do like him. Yeah.
He's got, as you're watching it with our kid, who got a feeling that, who've been convinced that Nikita is going to kill. And has now decided that Carlos is going to kill. Which ones are going to kill everybody?
Oh, no, I think...
And I think Carlos is nicer than that.
No, I don't think Carlos, but Nikita, I could believe it.
It's which ones are evil, secretly. But I don't believe Carlos is evil. I think Carlos is a force for good. I'm really enjoying Carlos's dancing. I think they're a really good pairing. But I think that...
They're all spies or assassins, aren't they? Yeah, we know
secretly,
that much about all of them.
That's why they're here.
Why are these people from these lovely countries around Europe sort of suddenly finding themselves in London?
It's the perfect cover. And they're fast moving. You can't catch them. They're like ninjas. We've cracked it, finally.
They parkour everywhere. They don't walk.
It's exactly who I'm imagining. It's Pierce Brosnan era Bond. They're the baddies.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's there's something great about these two. But what is missing from it, which there often is for these poor people who are terribly young and full of energy, is it's missing the dancing newsreader energy. There's little story.
There's no story at all.
You are ready to be delighted by her. She seems to be very nice and she's a really good dancer. But I can't invest in her story yet, which is might be fatal in terms of keeping them in. But they are unsurprisingly really good. But
I don't
clench. Yeah, I love watching them.
Like you said, just as, you know, for a natural balance, just as the show needs a Widdicombe, it also needs like an astonishing, I'm going to call her the banker.
Yeah.
You need a banker, someone who will come on and just perform every week. My advice to her, though, next week is to really cock it up somehow.
Yeah.
Or just, I don't know, add a limp.
I think, again, if we're doing the Eric and Only thing, she could come on in Shirley Bassey's big work boots from the Eric and Only routine and
exactly.
just clomp around. Just do Tony Adams' routine from this week, next week. Do
but
a cockney
she'd do
one.
Do it too well. Anyway, Craig gave her a 9. Craig gave her an 8. Yeah. So did Anton. And the two ladies gave her a 9. She's too good too early. But we have to have one of those because the spectrum, the balance must be maintained.
Yeah.
So currently in the chemistry set of Strictly, she's necessary.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen how long we need the control experiment before. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Can you tell? Good.
Yeah,
no, excellent.
Good. Yeah.
Yes, you can go to the toilet in a minute.
Okay.
She's too good and I'm not bothered, but maybe she'll surprise us. Who knows? And so that's it. Now we come to the result. The dance off in the end was Kate Adams out of Off of the Loose Women and Matt Goss out of off
of the Bros
Goss.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, and I really do feel, I felt bad for Matt Goss, and I know being in the dance-off probably did some terrible things to him psychologically. I mean, I don't even know what, you know, he'll be doing with that information this week. But I think the wrong person went home.
Yes, very much. And I think in terms of, as a piece of entertainment value, sometimes it goes wrong for the public as well. As in next week, I really wanted to see what Kay
Desperate
did.
To see
and
her
And I really...
again.
I'm uncomfortable watching Matt because I don't think he's psychologically in the right place for Strictly.
I think you're right. I think he's going to mentally have to do something impossible next week, which is have a total change of personality, or indeed it's unlocked something within him that I don't think he even has he doesn't know where the door is, let alone have
and
the key to
it. And we've just seen Kay unlock something in her
that
she knows there, and that's a story, that's a classic Strictly story. I don't think Matt's got that in him, and I feel for him for that because I think it's, I mean, obviously he'll do fine, he's a talented and brilliant guy.
Oh, I don't think this will do anything to dent him going forward,
but I feel
it's just,
for him because I think this is a bit unfair. Sometimes you put people through something for your entertainment and think, oh, I feel bad for putting him through this.
I know, I think everyone assumed maybe that he'd be technically better than so far he's been, or temperamentally he'd be a bit of a slick, a bit of a dude, and actually he's so clenched and so sort of doesn't know what to do with the thing you were talking about, the sense of humour thing, that I don't think he's faring that well. The dance off, all the judges, so I was surprised all the judges apart from Shirley saved Matt. But Shirley said she would have saved Kay. I totally agree with Shirley. I think even with the dance off, and there were still a few mistakes on both sides, Yeah, Kay just had a lot more to give, I think. I don't think Matt will be with us for long. Also surprising to note that the Bros et Army, who must be, you know, pushing 50 now, they must be my sort of age, aren't phoning in. I'm surprised. I thought the fact that they had that huge following and that we've now all, you know, reached a certain age, probably the age where you sit watching with the Radio Times on your knee and picking up the phone for Strictly, they're not voting for him.
No.
So if he's in the dance-off this week, then I can't imagine him not being again next week.
Yes, very
true.
Oh,
we've ended on a very sour note.
Well, what can we... let's just hope that next week Motsy comes as Servalan and everything's fine.
She can't because it's movie week, so she will come as some kind of incredible character.
She's going to come. Oh, she's going to come as Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy. It's going to be amazing.
She's done Avatar. I think realistically, probably not Drax, but she could, you know, paint herself a different colour.
Oh.
She could come out of her from the Bond film all gold or Shirley Eaton.
I'm saying it's pure sci-fi nerdery from Motsy. She's sending messages that she's going to come as the big silver robot from Logan's Run in the ice cave. It's going to be amazing on bit wheels. It's going to be great. I can't wait.
No, I think she'll come as Zod trapped in a pane of glass.
That's perfect. Pure Motsy.
Anyway, it is movie week next week. Obviously, we're not going to miss that. Slight bit of admin. We will be recording the podcast on Monday for various reasons. Okay, it's Joel's birthday.
Yay.
Apparently, we have to do something nice with you on your birthday.
Get a day off.
Yay. But there will be a podcast just a tiny bit later than usual. So movie week next week. Join us again. Come and have a chat with us on Twitter. We're at Curse of Strictly. And we will see you in the nearness of soon.
In the futures.
But until then...